106.9 WCTR, the greatest hits of all time. More and less in the morning. It's Thursday. It's time for Pet Patter with Dr. Rachel Crockett. Good morning, Dr. Crockett.
Good morning.
So we made it through the holidays, and I think what's on all of our minds is making those New Year's resolutions, how we can, first of all, make them and how we're going to keep them. And I thought maybe we could talk about the kind of resolutions that you as a vet would hope that pet parents would make for their pets, especially their dogs.
Yeah, top resolution every year, I mean, among humans too, I think, is probably weight loss. Just to eat, you know, being healthier, and weight loss is certainly up there, and I'd have to put that up there too as a vet. For dogs and cats, that's the number one thing that we have some control over, and it just like humans, it can make such a difference in terms of the overall health of an animal is to be at a healthy weight, because obesity comes with, just like humans, you know, it leads to heart disease, diabetes. There's so many things. Arthritis. I mean, we've got so many dogs that are plagued by arthritis. And just losing weight can take such a load off of their joints. But that's half the battle right there. So, and if we keep our dogs at a healthy weight as they grow, as they get older, then, you know, we're preventing arthritis in a lot of cases. So that's huge. And I think we do that the same way we do it with humans, unfortunately, with diet and exercise. And I think when I'm speaking to clients, a lot of times, you know, we think it's exercise, exercise, exercise. Well, you know, the weather's been a little cruddy here lately. It's been cold. We haven't been able to get out. Or it's, you know, the reverse in the summertime. It's just been so hot. We haven't been able to get out. Really, in dogs and cats, I find that it's most easy to control with the diet, because that's something we do have control over on a daily basis, and it's the repetition of it, it's the consistency of it that really kind of we'll see changes with when we talk about weight loss. So number one, just making sure that you know how much you are feeding your pet on a daily basis. Unfortunately, a lot of times we're talking about feeding our cats and dogs in terms of U.S. Measuring cup, and a lot of times we're not using a measuring cup to portion out our food on a daily basis, and that can be a huge, you know, change we can make right there. I mean, a red Solo cup is not a U.S. standard cup, just saying right there. That's about, I don't even want to hazard a guess as how many cups that is, but a scoop is not a cup. So just measuring where you're at, what the recommendation is on the back of the bag, which isn't the end-all be-all. I mean, a lot of dogs would get overweight probably on what they recommend on the back of the bag. So, and some dogs, it's not enough for our working dogs. So just starting there and then making little alterations, feeding a little bit less, feeding a little bit more, and then just kind of checking in on that weight every couple of weeks. That's how we make changes. And there's one condition I know of that certainly will make it very difficult to shed any kind of weight, hypothyroidism in dogs. So that can also throw a little bit of a monkey wrench in it. But for the most part, it's simply being consistent on a daily basis of just feeding a certain amount and not giving in to our pets in terms of treats. I mean, a little bit of treats is fine, but stopping through the drive-thru every day for a cheeseburger to share with mom and dad is not a good idea.
Well, and I think, too, limiting people food, can that be a way as well to kind of help with their diet, especially if that's something that you have used as a go-to?
Limiting people food, it gets a little bit of a gray zone, because obviously, you shouldn't necessarily feed people food to dogs or cats. But the thing is then you're getting into the realm of, and just the same with treats, you're getting into the realm of the bond, the human-animal, you know, the bond you have with your pet. And if part of that is giving a very small amount of a health, you know, relatively healthy food that's not going to hurt them, that's one thing. But if they're routinely getting people food on top of their normal diets every day, that's not very controllable in the amount. And number two, that can certainly add pack on the pounds. If they're getting people food in lieu of their regular food, then you have to be really confident about the fact that they're getting the nutrients that they need, because there are certain micronutrients that dogs require from their diet that they can't make on their own. So you do have to be careful when you're doing that. But when the take home, people food, dog food is people food. It just it tailored to specifically meet what a dog needs, and cat food is cat food, and it's tailored to specifically meet what cats need. So, you know, I think you can use it as a treat in very small amounts. You just have to be really, really careful because A, it's a slippery slope, and B, that you do get into trouble sometimes with gastrointestinal upset and pancreatitis when you're giving people food. So you just have to use it with caution, or don't use it at all.
A lot of times when we're making our New Year's resolutions, we deal with both mind and body. So when it comes to the overall health and maybe what you would consider the mental health of your pet, what are things that people can do to help with that?
So it depends on it does depend on the animal and probably the age of the animal. I mean, you've got your retrieving breeds who, you know, they've got a huge driving force inside of them to play fetch, to play ball, to be it from the actual hunter that's going out with their owner and chasing down a bird, or if it's just the, you know, the family lab that's going and retrieving a frisbee or a ball. That's like that's an innate desire in them to do that. And so being able to do that, giving them space to do that, that's huge. And just when we talk about allowing them to exhibit their normal behavior and their normal, well, I want to say normal desires to a certain point, but fetching is one of that. For your collie breeds, you know, rounding things up. I mean, that's why they're so good at agility, just that drive to do that kind of behavior and to be able to exercise at the very least. Those are big things for your active breed. And then maybe for your small dogs, your little chihuahuas and such. I mean, your big dogs too. Dogs in general love just attention from humans. And so just, you know, having some time to dedicate to them and be around them and letting them, you know, be around you, I think is huge. And again, all animals are different, and there are some different purposes for different animals, but certainly if you've got the family pet, you know, it does, they do want to be around you. They do want to spend time with you. So keeping that in mind, you know, I know we're all busy, but giving them some personal attention. That's a wonderful thing.
And I think the last thing I want to ask about is, you know, when we're making resolutions, sometimes we, you know, you read a lot, your doctors are always pushing towards wellness. So when you think about wellness for your pets, is there a certain amount of visits maybe that you should set up to take your pets to visit the vet, just to kind of do a check-in and do a wellness checkup to make sure that they're maintaining a proper weight, that they don't have any illnesses that might be cropping up or anything like that?
A nice, healthy adult animal, I'd say once a year is great. I think that's fantastic. Just a wellness visit, a checkup, see how we're doing, track our weight, and our overall health, catch things before, you know, maybe there's something on a physical exam that's kind of raising a red flag for me, but the owner hasn't necessarily, you know, picked up on it yet. All of those things. Our vaccines, the distempers, feline distempers, and the canine distempers, and then the rabies, once we get those rolling, they're, you know, for me anyway, I think they're pretty good for 3 years. So we require those as every 3-year shots. But obviously, if you're just coming in for the vaccines, you'd think, okay, every 3 years, because that's when you get the reminder. But I think a yearly health exam is a wonderful thing. I think if you're an older animal or have an older animal, I mean, you might be at a place where you want to do every 6 months, especially if there's a concern. Conditions, animals that have certain conditions like heart disease, among other things, arthritis, maybe they get seen every 6 months or even more frequently than that. We'll have certain animals that are on medications that need to be seen more frequently than that, because we're monitoring either blood work, enzymes in their blood work, or, you know, in the case of diabetics, doing glucose curves and blood sugar curves and those sorts of things. So obviously, if they've got conditions, then we're going to see them a little bit more often. But your standard adult animal yearly visits, wellness visits are perfect.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Dr. Crockett on a future show, you can email her to askdrc@wctr.com. This has been Pet Patter.